the great two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58. Of course, up for the Hall of Fame as well, our buddy Carl Banks. Hello, Carl.
Hello, man.
Carl?
Evan, what happened? How'd you get
I'm going to tell you what happened. I'm going to break this down for you. So when I get sick, and I was sick for a few days, when I recover, the negative thing about my recovery is I lose my voice. So the good news is I feel so much better than I did the previous 2 days. The bad news is it is painful to speak. So that's where I'm at, Carl, and I'm just downing tea every 30 seconds.
And he is downing it, man.
Yes, I am.
Well, feel better.
Thank you, man.
And Joe and I will carry the weight here. And
please do.
Comment when necessary.
Okay, I like it. Go ahead then. Start it off.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead with the whole cutting of Jenkins. What's your reaction to that, Carl?
The cutting of Jenkins, or were we talking about the Jets? I thought we were
No, okay. Let's go back to cut. I'm sure you watched the Jet game. We can get into that a little bit. But what about the Jenkins getting cut?
Well, I think it was something that needed to be done. Unfortunately, for the young man, Janoris, it's, you know, he did not see the gravity of those remarks, you know, as it relates to what's acceptable in society. And, you know, and I understand, you know, there's a hood slang, if you will, but, you know, there's things that are said in the barbershop that you just don't say in the public forum. And as a uncle to a set of autistic twins, this is very serious. You just can't throw that word around in a society that is, you know, plagued with children with disabilities and adults with disabilities. And this is a very serious issue. And when it's brought to light, and the only thing that you can say is, well, this is how we talk in the neighborhood. Well, you represent more than the neighborhood in these public forums, and there's a possibility that you're going to offend. There's a likelihood that you're going to offend people. And when you, as part of your apology, you're saying it's, you know, just how we talk.
Right.
That, you know, that just doesn't, it doesn't wash, you know, and it had to be done. And, you know, given all the other things that he and the team had been dealing with, it wasn't exactly, you know, my bad. Let's move on from here. So it's probably best for both. It is best for both, but it was the right thing to do as an organization.
You know what stinks, though, Carl? He benefits. He didn't want to be on this team. I mean, he doesn't want to be here anymore. Well, he's tweeting how it's great news. He's thrilled.
Well, yeah, but, you know, there's downside to that, too. I mean, you know, he may be able to pick and choose where he goes, but he still carries with him that stigma of, you know, a guy that's, you know, not getting it at times, or a guy that can be a burden to your staff. And listen, I don't have a problem with him as a player. You know, he's been good and he's been bad, but he's a football player, right? And I think he likes to play football, but listen, let's not assume he's going to benefit. You know,
don't you think he's going to end up with a good team?
He just got cut.
So he's a good player?
Is there a guarantee that he's going to get the same salary that he was getting with the Giants? He didn't get traded. He got cut.
Right, right.
That means that the back end of whatever was left on that contract this year and the next, it's gone.
Yeah, I just could see him with the New Orleans Saints tomorrow. And you're right financially. You're right. But
right.
He can see it, and
right.
He can end up playing
Wind
in, the
up
Super
in
Bowl.
A Super Bowl.
Yeah,
right.
But
yeah.
He's playing for his career now. He's playing for the salary that he just lost for next year. So I'm not sure as a benefit. He gets two games, three games, six games out of a team at whatever his prorated salary will be. No, it's not even his prorated salary. It's going to be whatever they can negotiate with a new team.
Right.
And that's it. And then he's off to next year trying to figure out how to get a big deal. And his resume is not going to be one of, oh, he's a top corner in free agency. That's not the resume coming out of this year.
Right.
So it's not a win-win for him. He's got to go and prove it now. He's got six games. Well, he's got whatever. Whenever he signs with another team, and if that team is a playoff team, he's got those games to prove to the rest of the league that he can make elite cornerback money. There, that's not guaranteed.
Mm. Talking, of course, to Carl Banks. I want to jump to the game here. First of all, is Eli playing Sunday? What's the story with that, Carl?
I haven't. Well, I've only heard what you guys have heard, just kind of rumors. But it looks that way.
Do you think that – I don't buy it, but I trust you a hell of a lot more. You're there. Do you think that there's an urge in the organization to give Eli this final start at home, or do you think that's not a factor at all?
I don't really think it's a factor. I think if Daniel Jones were healthy enough to play, he'd be there. Now, I don't know the severity of Daniel Jones' injury, if it's a 2-week, 3-week, 4-week high ankle sprain. But, you know, we looked at diminishing returns from Saquon Barkley. So you got to be careful with this stuff. I don't think that this is one of those, hey, that's if it were a playoff game, we're going to play Daniel Jones. I don't know if he's injured enough to be left out of that, but at this point, he's not good enough to go, and Eli Manning is a capable, more than capable backup. So it just happens to be beneficial that, you know, he's going to get a start at home in a year that he lost his job.
Mm. Carl, we pretty much know that Shermer's gone. I mean, I think that's a foregone conclusion. I don't see how he's going to be back. What do you look? I mean, there's a lot of young players. You look a lot. Obviously, Jones isn't playing. We'll assume he's not playing. So, but there are a lot of young players here to keep an eye on. So, you're a Giant fan right now, watching this game Sunday. Well, what exactly are you looking for going forward here?
Well, you just want to continue to see effort from the guys that have been flashing. I think O'Shane Zimmon has had some really good stuff last week. You want to see if he continues to build on that. Dexter Lawrence has quietly been improving every single game. I want to see Marcus Golden get double-digit sacks. He's earned
it this year. Right.
You want to see a guy like Will Hernandez continue to make the adjustments in game. You wanted DeAndre Baker had his best game. It was far from perfect, but he had his best game as a New York Giant. You want to see if he can build on that. Julian Love had a good game, but he had flaws in it, just like a rookie would. But you want to see if he's better from this week, last week to this week. So there are a lot of things that you want to continue to monitor, because though you can't say that the arrow is pointing up organizationally, meaning, you know, just the team is in the right direction, but you do want to see players that can get you going in the right direction, because they're starting to play well each and every week. So those are the things that I'm looking for, because it's not going to be perfect. The record is what it is for a reason. And it's a multitude of those, multitude of reasons, but you want to see the individuals that are the future of the franchise continue to make strides as young players.
And this could be a big week for Saquon. The Dolphins have had a very difficult time stopping the run. And let's face it, Saquon's had a disappointing year. Obviously, injury has had a lot to do with it. But I think most Giant fans expected these enormous things out of Barkley. It hasn't really happened. I think to a lot of fans, it would be encouraging to at least see him finish real strong. And this is a perfect team to do it against. The Dolphins have really struggled against the run this year.
Well, both teams are on equal footing. I mean, there's a reason why the Dolphins are what they are. They don't have the talent that the Giants have.
I agree.
I like their coach, Carl. I think they got something with Brian Flores. They're really playing. I've seen a lot of the Dolphins this year. They're really playing for this guy. They really are.
The beautiful thing about Brian Flores is he has the courage of his convictions. He subscribes to a set of sound principles in how football should be played, whether it's with the Bad News Bears or with, you know, 53 All Pros. He knows how the game should be played, He does not compromise it, as evidenced by some of the players who did not want to conform to the principles that he's instilling in that organization. They're gone. So you know that you're going to get their best effort. Their talent may not win out. They're going to scheme some things to try to exploit you. You can expect anything. And then you got Fitzpatrick, who can be, you know, as improvisational either way for the betterment of their team or for the betterment of yours. But, yeah, he's a good coach. Now, as it relates to Saquon Barkley, he had a good game going in Philadelphia. And then there were breakdowns on the line of scrimmage. Now, good games are not the 60-yard run or the 45-yard run. It's the keep the offense on schedule runs where you're getting five. You're getting the Ezekiel Elliott type of production that keeps your offense on schedule, and it's always second and three, second and four. They had that going in Philadelphia. And if they can get that type of energy again early in the game, then you'll start to see the 25-yarders because they can wear you down. And they were starting to wear down the Philadelphia front in that first half because that's why they were getting behind them in the passing game. So they don't have the Philadelphia Eagles front. So if he can get those, you know, first down 5-yarders, 6-yard gains, then you're going to start to see him break some wide open. And if they want to commit and legislate against him getting the big runs, that means they've got to commit somebody else to the box, and the wide receiver should have a big day.
We're talking to Carl Banks. We had Alec Ogletree on the other day, and there was one answer he gave that was a little startling, to say the least. We asked him about the overtime touchdown of Zach Ertz, and he basically said we were surprised, we weren't ready for it, we didn't practice the formation. That was a scary answer, Carl. What's your take on that?
Well, I mean, if you've watched enough of this team this year defensively, a lot of things tend to catch them off guard, catch them by surprise.
Yes.
And they look ill-prepared for a lot of situations. That's why they are tops in the league with these huge plays, these chunk plays, and, you know, 30-yard or more plays, because – it just seems like they're just never on the same page. And the fact that he said that they didn't practice it, well, here's a newsflash. They've struggled with the bunch formation all year. Maybe they didn't practice with Zach Ertz as part of the bunch. Maybe they didn't practice with the bunch being formed off of motion out of the formation and back into the formation, creating a bunch. But it's a bunch, and it is. They haven't solved it in 13 weeks. So the fact that he said that they didn't practice it, well, what part didn't you practice? When it gets to a bunch, you got to be able to, you know, decipher it and play it. But they just haven't. That's been a formation that has killed them all year. So I'm not surprised, because it's just one more thing that is kind of an indictment on how schematically this defense has been inept.
Well, you're right about that. We have more coming up with Carl Banks. We are in Philadelphia. Carl's back in New Jersey. We'll get the keys to the game, the Giant-Dolphin game, and your thoughts on what you saw last night from Lamar Jackson and the Jets as the Ravens beat the Jets. And Joe Girardi will join us in about 25 minutes or so. What did you think last night of, I guess, the Jets' attempt to slow down Lamar Jackson, Carl?
Well, I think they had the same results as the rest of the league. I think you got to spend some time with that offense, and it's he makes it so much more dynamic because of his speed, and he is, you know, faster in real life than he is on TV. So you got to adjust to him. But this offense is, as much as it's revolutionizing the league, if you call someone like Tom Osborne or Barry Switzer, they'll break that offense down for you to a T, because it's an option. It's an option offense that uses tight ends as wide receivers, and you've got to be able to you have to be more decisive when playing the option. And when I say being decisive, and teams will get around to it, they like to get a player lost in space, meaning that guy who's trying to decide whether to take the pitch or take the quarterback. The best way to disrupt an option is to be decisive and hit the guy. Just go. No in between. If you assign your player, if one player is assigned to the quarterback and one player assigned to the pitch or the ball carrier, that's what it's got to be. You've got to have guys dedicated to that, and teams are so afraid of it right now. But you'll go back, just like what Shanahan has done in San Francisco with his 49ers offense. It's got a lot of Joe Gibbs principles in it. When you look at what they're doing with Lamar, they just turned back the clock. They went back and looked at a lot of great option teams, and they put a lot of wrinkles in off of it, but it's an old college option. And there's a reason why it didn't work in the NFL. It's because teams start pounding quarterbacks. Obviously, we haven't seen anything. Well, we have seen something like him. We've seen Michael Vick.
Right.
But not Michael Vick in this type of offense. So it puts you in a pickle. It makes you defend a lot of different things. And that's when they put a defense on the defensive, trying to figure out every little detail of it. You just can't get ahead of it. The only way you can get ahead of it is if you're aggressively going after it. You know, when he puts the ball in the running back's hand and he holds it there for a long time and pulls it out, you can't wait for it to come out or stay in the gut of the running back. You just got to go hit it. Go hit it, make somebody feel it, and if the quarterback is feeling it enough, he tends to declare a lot sooner what his intentions are. So I think, you know, I'm enjoying watching this offense. I think smart defensive coaches, and I think there are still a few around in this league, they'll go do the research like the offensive coaches are doing. You know, they caught up with the Rams offense because they knew that deep crossing route was shades of the 80s. You know, the Rams used to run it. The Cardinals used to run it. The Washington Redskins used to run it with the fun bunch. And teams went back and looked at the history of it, and they know McVay has roots in Washington, so they did it. Look at the 49ers. They're doing some things. They close in their formation. They're not part of this spread generation. They want to pack it in and beat up on the little guys on offense. They run the counter tray just like the Washington Redskins does it. But I give the offensive minds in this league a lot of credit because they are so far ahead of the gimmicky defensive minds in the NFL right now. Some of these, you know, defensive coaches that are coordinating defenses have no sense of history. And when you look at the offensive coaches, their offensive schemes are steeped in the history of what's been successful over the years. You know, so defensive coaches are going to have to do their research. They're going to have to understand why things work, not how to defend your schemes against some of this stuff or make your schemes work and leave guys wide open. There, you can look at how these things mechanically work and dissect them, but you have to have a defensive mindset as a teacher and a coach to break these things down so that you can tell your guys, here's what we're going to do. Bill Belichick did it for us in Super Bowl 25. Here's what we're going to do, and this is why we have to do this. We're going to be decisive. We're going to hit receivers. We can't play at the line of scrimmage. We're going to play off so that we can see everything, and when we see it, we hit it. When playing the option, there's been – you go to the 80s through probably the early 90s, there's a ton of awesome option quarterback footage. You can call any of the great defensive coordinators in college that had to defend against that stuff in the 80s. They can give you everything you need to do to defend it. Obviously, you know, a guy like Turner Gill in college was an awesome – he was dynamic.
Right.
But there are teams that knew how to defend that but you have to be decisive with it. But I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the fact right. that they're making a mockery of the league, and everybody's trying to figure it out. And I can tell you, go hit the guy who's part of the key to that exchange. Hit him before that ball comes out.
Right.
And he starts in motion, because once he gets going, there's nothing you can do. Nothing.
Well, we're gonna see a lot of option tomorrow with Army, because they run that that triple
yeah.
option stuff, and
yeah.
they do a real good job of it. You know, I a couple things, Carl. First of all, everybody compares Lamar to Michael Vick. To me, I think of Randall Cunningham. Now, it's a different type of offense that Randall Cunningham was running back in Philadelphia. Nobody
sure.
knows Randall better than you do. I a different type of offense, but I see more of him in Lamar Jackson than I see Michael Vick. What do you think about that?
Yes, I agree with that. I think he has more of a Michael Vick arm than a Randall Cunningham arm. Randall, there's not a route deep enough
no.
that he couldn't hit.
No, absolutely.
But in terms of style, yes. Lanky, you know, kind of subtle depth of, you know, he does a lot of different things that are kind of off the books. Like, how did he make that move? He doesn't even know it. He's just so instinctive about how he does it. But I get the comparisons to Vic, but that's what comes to mind. But Randall Cunningham is a guy that I would say he's a lot like.
You know what? I mean, we all watched Michael Vick, and I don't mean any disrespect towards Michael Vick. Lamar Jackson's better than Michael Vick. I'm sorry. I think he already is.
Better.
He's better.
I would.
He's not a better passer. He's a better. He's the ultimate weapon. He's the next generation of Michael Vick. So it's fair to say yes. It's fair to say he's better.
One thing about him throwing a football, Carl, I think because of you're so concerned about the running game with him and Ingram as well, that you see these guys, like you saw last night, these guys are wide open. It's not like he's not throwing balls into tight windows here,
right.
Lamar Jackson.
Give their offense their credit due, because they're creating these SEC type of open wide receivers.
Right.
You know, where a quarterback can just put it there and there's nobody close. But this is, you have some bright defensive minds that just have not done the homework on that off. That offense is not revolutionizing football. It's around. It's
right,
in the archives.
Right,
you just
got
to look at it and see what little adjustments they've made to it. But if your tight ends are your primary pass catchers and they're your primary blockers, then there's some commonality there. The big shots down the field, they get is it Hollywood? Is that his name?
Yeah,
Marquise Brown. They get him some balls, but the bulk of their catches are to the tight ends, and the tight ends are also the key to their running game.
Right.
You do your homework, there's some commonality there. There's some similarities. They're not exchanging players.
So you think, Bill, he already lost to him.
Right.
He's
Bill watched that game last night.
Everything.
You know that.
Oh, he's studying the 80s,
you know
the 90s,
sure.
Lamar.
Yep.
You think
if he's smart,
get...
he'd go back and
well,
he'd look
he
at
smart.
The option quarterbacks.
Well, who's smarter than him?
So do you,
and he'll
you
go talk to some of the coaches who've had to defend against it, and he'll start to see the commonalities.
Look, the Ravens can still beat the Patriots in a playoff game,
yep.
even if Lamar is slowed
yep.
down,
yep.
because the
right.
Raven defense is tremendous. But you think, Bill, when he gets another crack, assuming he does at Lamar in this
he'll
offense.
He'll be better.
Yes.
He'll be, yeah.
You would think so.
That.
Yeah. You would think so. And I tell you, I would think that Greg Williams would be too, you know, with another crack at him down the road when he's got his full complement of players as
sure,
well, Greg
he
Williams.
Will. And he's, you know, he had some good schemes in there, and Jackson's a little faster than them early on in the game. But, again, smart defensive coaches, and I think Williams is one of those guys, they'll go do their homework. There are some of these guys that are so married to their schemes that they'll just, you know, they won't put the work in and see where the commonalities are and how you have to defend certain things. And they just, so I love the fact that they went pretty much back to the future
right.
on the NFL, and they just have the ultimate weapon running it. It's Turner Gill in college, where he was just
right.
unstoppable.
Yep. He was.
Right? And so I'm loving it because it's challenging defensive coordinators to be better. But
go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish it up.
No, but it's their commonalities. And you just have to do the work. If your best receivers are your tight ends and the key to your running game are those three tight ends, then, hey, put it together. Understand how it works. But you also know that if they're doing a lot of what I call that ride motion where the quarterback puts it in there and either leaves it with the running back or pull it out, blow up the exchange. Just dedicate a guy. Your job is to blow up this exchange. You'll see. You'll see how courageous a quarterback is. He's going to declare exactly what he's going to do once he starts to get hit in the backfield. Then all of a sudden, he's going to be like, hey, I don't have the ball. Because he's the catalyst to all of it. And I, again, I'm loving every minute of it because I love the challenge of preparing for some. I used to love the challenge of preparing for Randall Cunningham. You hated it. It kept you there. No, I guarantee you there's not another player, including Patrick Mahomes, that has defensive players up all night. Because I can tell you, I never worried about anybody. From Joe Montana to Marino to Elway, I dealt with them on game day. The week we got to Philadelphia, all you thought about day and night was Randall Cunningham. Mm. And he's keeping guys up at night, Jackson is, because he's that dynamic. And without a good plan, I just love the fact that they're doing what they're doing. And it's forcing people to change how they operate defensively.
Carl, thank you as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Talk to you next week.
Feel better, Evan.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Is he coming on with us in the afternoon next week?
Why not? If he wants to. It's up to you, man. If they pay you enough.
Carl, what are you saying? Carl's talking.
When are you guys on?
We're on, actually, Monday. We're on. Next week, we're actually on from 2 to 6.
Well, I get a, oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, you might. I don't know. I don't know.
Killer, you're coming on? Killer?
Okay, Killer.
Killer, we got Killer.
I told Killer everything he knows, okay? I've been knowing Killer since he walked through the door. I told Bill to draft Killer. I told George Young and Bill
I want to hear a lot of that from you.
I don't think you
got Killer. All right, what do you got, Killer? All right, what do you think? You're seeing some things? What are you seeing? Here's what I know. Okay, this is what I know.
Okay, I can coach the Giants. Okay,
I've been in meetings. Okay, I've been on the team bus. But he has. The truth is,
that's the reality.
The pain.
Have a good weekend.
All right, Carl. See you, man.